The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. Welcome back to another episode of the Arty Gras Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah LaPierre, and I'm here today with a fabulous guest. Amanda Perna is with us. Amanda, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. And girl, I gotta say, when I was getting dressed this morning, I'm like, I'm gonna put on a little extra color today for Amanda.
I hope I
did you proud. I brought a little extra pink out, a little extra flair.
Yes.
Because you are a more is more person, and I love that about you.
Always. Well, I have to say, I mean, from the moment I met you, when you entered the arts warehouse, I was like, you need to model for me. You should be a model. You're always so stinking cute. Whatever you put on, even when you're paying overalls, I was like, you always look so cute.
And I love this. So, you know, I've known of you for so long because you've just been this huge, you know, like entity in the Palm Beach County culture, right? In your design and the fashion world, all you've been doing. But then I finally, when I moved into the arts warehouse, I got the opportunity to be across the hallway studio neighbors from you, which was amazing. And so often, you know, if I was like taking a break from painting, I would just do a spin around and kind of like peek in everybody's studio, see what's going on. And yours was just always an explosion of color and textures and all these wonderful things. So for, you know, I'm sure so much of our audience will already know you, but for those who might not, can you tell us a little bit about what you do and who Amanda Perna is as a fashion designer and artist and creative?
Oh, you are so kind and generous. Like, that was such a lovely introduction. And I think the word explosion was very accurate. Anybody who's been to my studio will know there are beads and things flying around on a regular basis. So I am a fashion designer. And I just love spreading joy. And everyone's like, what are you doing today? You feel like you're doing something different every day, which is true. I just love creating, whether it's clothes or accessories or experiences. I just love connecting. And for me, I love helping people feel good about themselves. Mm. So if I can do that when you buy a pair of earrings or a dress and be part of that with you, that's really what makes me the most excited.
It's so energizing, right? As a creative, to have the opportunity to get involved in some way in somebody's life and how they perceive their world, their day. Like you said, add that little extra bit of joy or something that gives them a boost of confidence or anything like that. It's just such a special way for creatives to connect. And people get to wear that. Like, that's incredible. You know, as a painter, I feel lucky enough that people want to have my art on their walls, but have somebody wearing something is so cool. You know, something they live their life in.
Yeah. And we always say, like, we get to be part of these moments, right? Like, if you're coming to us, our things are very bold. So we always say it's not for the faint of heart. So we have two different kinds of clients. We have the ones who come in and they want something really special and spectacular for an important moment of their life. And so we get to, in a small way, be part of that moment. I have a lady right now who, it's her 45th birthday, and she couldn't have a 40th because of COVID. Mm. So her wife bought a caftan, a custom caftan. She doesn't know it's coming. And so we get to be part of these surprises and big moments in people's lives. And then we have the girls who come in and they're like, oh, I love what you do, but I can't wear this. And we have to like hold their hand and ease them into, yes, you can. Yeah. It's a really special relationship we get to build with people and trust. Yeah. I think as a painter, it's so exciting because you get to walk into your home and see this thing. And every time you walk into the house, they see your work and your energy is there. And it's the same thing with what we do clothing wise, where we get to be part of that wardrobe and their collection in their closet, which is fun.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, I get so excited every time I get to spot an Amanda Pernet design out in the wild. I'm like, I know that. Like, I recognize Thank that from you. This collection, or I see those earrings, or I see that headband. And I'm like, that's awesome. You know, it's just exciting to see. So we want to get into a little bit of background too, right? Like, before all the glitz and everything came together, was this kind of a path that you always thought you were going to go down? I actually just learned a little tidbit that maybe the stage was an area that you thought you were initially going to be a part of more than necessarily fashion design. Mm-hmm. So where did this get started for you?
My career, if you will, happened by accident. I was always the kid making weird things, doing something, experimenting and exploring with clothes. I remember my mom one time, Abercrombie was the thing when I was growing up, and we went in the mall and she was like, let's just go in there and get some things, because I would spray paint my shoes neon green and put glitter on them. There was a point where I put pipe cleaners in my hair to add color in my hair. My mom was like, what are you doing? You can't wear that to school. I was like, yes, I can. And I did. And I was a theater kid. And that was what I thought I was going to do. My goal in life was to be on Broadway. And my first job in fashion was 1407 Broadway at Oscar de la Renta.
Made it. I love it.
I made it in a very different way. I always tell people, manifest very specifically, because if you're not clear enough, the universe will provide, just maybe not how you intended. I was going to school for psychology, actually. I love, once again, helping people feel happy. And I was like, I can make the world a happier place because I can be there for them. Everybody needs someone. So I'll be a great therapist and I can sit there and hear. And then I did research at a mental hospital and I cried for my patients. And I was like, I think I'm too empathetic. I don't think I'm going to be good at this. I did. I cried. I went home and cried, and I cried, like, tried not to cry while there. I was like, I was like, no, that's not what you want in your doctor. You want somebody who's going to be. So that same year I did an internship in New York at Oscar, and I was like, these are my people. I belong here. This is home. I'm going to die in New York, or I'm never leaving New York. I never want to leave, and never say never, because here we are. And I took a sewing class, and my professor was like, this is for majors only, and you're not a major. How are you in here? And at the University of Alabama, as an honor student, we got first dibs on everything. So I got to sign up for whatever class I wanted. So I got put in that fashion class when I asked for it. And I loved it. And I didn't know what I was going to do. So I started going for 2 degrees and took double the classes because nothing crossed over. As you know, I keep myself busy. I fell madly in love with fashion. I fell in love with it. I could help a person transform who they are and who they want to be that day. Because, you know, if you're in your PJs, cozy at home, you're different than when you're dressed up in a gown. Sure. And I could help you be who you want to be that day. And I thought that was a magical, powerful thing to be able to help people do.
Yeah, it literally is transformative magic. Yes. I mean, just changing the way a day can go, or a lifetime could go. Because we're, you know, most of us, I would say, are always wearing clothes. So
I are wearing clothes in public, at least, please. It's true. And like we say all the time in my office, like, how can you be sad when you're dripping in hot pink? You kind of can't, right? Like, throw on some glitter and you're happy. And I think it's like with art, you have that power to transform the energy just with the materials you use.
And your locations have that same feeling. Like, I said, not just the studio now, because you're not in the Arts Warehouse anymore, but you have a beautiful space, like, right around the block from it, which is awesome. And you walk in, and again, it's all this color. It's all these fantastic textures, like a lot of things that you just have to get in and get your hands on and explore this place. And I haven't actually been to A Little Wild in person, but that's your other location. And I, you know, from what I've heard and what I've seen online, it's also another magical location. So you definitely have this ability to transform not just, you know, people and their day, but the spaces that you inhabit as well, for sure.
I think it's, once again, goes back to that theater kid in me. It's like, you know, you put on your costume, you became your character. You go into the world that's built in a stage, which ultimately is just a blank empty canvas. Sure. And I kind of look at spaces the same way. You know, it's how can we evoke a feeling for you the second you walk in the space? And like, sometimes people come in the studio and they hate it, and that's okay. You're allowed to hate it. I just want to make you feel something. Sure. So if I make you feel and you want to run, girl, you run. That's
having
okay.
a reaction
that's
is okay. better than just nothing.
Right? Yeah. As an artist, that's our job, is to make you feel something. And you and I are both going to look at something and see it differently, feel it differently, but we want to make you feel.
Yeah. loving it or hating it, no wrong answer.
Nope.
The middle ground is the place you don't want to be.
The murky gray area is where I don't like hanging out.
Which makes sense, you know, all the color palettes and everything you choose, you're like just unmissable, unignorable. You can't not have a response to this. Like, you just can't. You can't, you know, it's not, there's no racks of beige or like neutrals existing. Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, you're wearing one of your designs today, right?
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, this is a little taste of, you know, the brand and the identity and something that's, I think from what I've seen, always been a part of how you relate is just through bright colors and big, bold ways. And
yes,
a part of your energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do. I think every day is an excuse to play dress up. And we want you to come play dress up with us. Yeah.
I love it. Why not? Why not? So, you know, you mentioned that you were going to like, I'm going to die in New York. This is where I'm going to be forever. What was there an aha moment that brought you back to Del Rey? When did that occur?
It was my family.
Yeah.
I grew up, my dad is one of seven. So we have a huge Italian family. So I would, back then it was Skype. It was before the Zoom era. Mm-hmm. But like I would miss a lot of things. So they would all Skype me and I would see my whole family, all 30 of them, you know, wrapped around the table having these parties while my husband and I would be like at our apartment table in New York. And it was... Once I left my job and decided I was going to bet on myself, I was like, I don't need to be in New York anymore. And I felt like I got what I needed. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the world had changed. The internet became a bigger thing. I'm going to really make myself sound as old as I am. I know I act like a five-year-old, but I'm not anymore. But yeah, like I could order things online. I already built connections where I could call and pick up a phone and say, I want this fabric. Can you ship it to me in Florida? At the time, Florida was inexpensive. Mm-hmm. We laugh now. It's not so funny, but all of you real estate people, you're really laughing. But, you know, when we moved down here, my studio at the time, in what was formerly known as Artist Alley, which has been mostly defunct with the exception of the Arts Warehouse, my studio and a 2-bedroom apartment in Del Rey at the time was less than my 1-bedroom apartment in New York. And I was like, I can actually have a space to work and enough space to live. And then eventually I bought a house plus my studio was still less than, you know, so it was like crazy to me. And I, at the time before I married my husband, we were engaged when we moved down and we both grew up down here. And we were like, we could actually build like a really cool life here and be part of something that is expanding as the art scene started to expand here rather than in New York where you're one of a billion. We could really make our mark here. And it's been really fun to meet other creative people who are also on the same mission of really making sure people know that we're here doing things in Palm Beach County. It's not just another place to go and retire like my friends all thought.
Right, yeah. Not just a place to like go play bridge.
No, I mean, listen, I have friends who are playing Mahjong now and they're in their 30s.
I'm not mad at it, you know?
I'm not either. But, you know, they're still doing, we're doing things here. We're making things happen. And now look at our economy here. It's thriving.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when people think of Del Rey and certainly Palm Beach County, they are starting to, you know, see more of this growth of culture here and growth of the, you know, the arts again has kind of had, I mean, I see it over the past, you know, I've grown up in this area my whole life and certainly the past 10 years and, you know, even more so than that, but has just been a huge, huge shift. And it's exciting to be a part of. It's exciting to grow with. You know, there's definitely a lot of energy around it. And I'm glad that you're one of the people that saw that as an opportunity to come back and build here rather than, you know, have to feel like I think that story is still one that's very much so pitched to artists of like New York, LA,
or Europe,
and or Europe, kind of
it. And now and Miami,
maybe if in your film, Miami or Atlanta, but there's still these hubs, and it's true, right? There's different opportunities, a lot more potential, but there's a lot more competition, a lot more high prices of living. Not that, like you said,
I know, Palm Beach County. I'm like, oh, we're right there. But I look at houses in LA sometimes and they're less than here. I'm like, wait, what's happening here? What's happening? But yeah, it's true. And I think that's what is so exciting. And I came like right around that time where I'm like right after Hurricane Sandy is what did me in actually when water came into my building in downtown Manhattan.
And you're like, I might as well be in Florida if I'm going to deal with hurricanes anyway.
They make more sense here. I was like, no, hurricanes, they're not cute. we were laughing. So like, it's a category one. No, it was not. When you're 15 floors up, it's no longer category one, but we didn't know that. So here we are. But yeah, it is. And that was, it's such an exciting time. And it's so exciting still to see what's happening. There's so much more potential here for all of us creative people. And I really love the sense of community that we have in our artist community here. I think for the most part, everybody recognizes there's enough for all of us.
Yeah.
There's, you know, a handful of you out there that we can do without. But, you know, otherwise it is. It's a beautiful place and something special to be part of.
And there's a lot more, I think, availability and willingness to, that I see anyway. And this is part of who I like to surround myself with and who I know you like to surround with yourself with too. The collaborators, right? The people who say, I see what you're doing. How can we, you know, be good neighbors to each other in this industry. And that's, you know, great at places like the Arts Warehouse, but also you are somebody who is absolutely intentionally putting yourself in these spaces in your community. And we're going to talk more about those because you have a lot of little things going on that I love to see. And I want to talk about them, but I wanted to ask too, you know, still in the earlier days a little bit, is there anything from those earlier moments in your career that still sort of are a guiding principle of your business? Anything that you learned early on that you still kind of apply in the way you run your business?
Yeah, I learned early on to design for my client and who I want to sell to. I think I learned it the most when I went to go work for Calvin Klein. When I graduated college and said I was going there, I had an internship there the summer prior. My advisor was like, wait, no, you're kidding. That's not where you're going to go. It's opposite of everything that creatively I believe in. And she was like, why there? At the time, Betsy Johnson was and still is, you know, one of my favorite designers of all time. And there's a lot of similarities with what I do because that's, we have a similar viewpoint of the world where more is more. But I really wanted to learn how to create for my client, even if I'm not the client. We did a lot of beige, a lot of gray, a lot of black. And she was like, are you sure about this? And I was like, yeah, I am, because I want to understand her. I want to understand how to know somebody that's not me. It's easy to make things for ourselves, right? We know what we like, but not everybody's us. So how do I find her and really give her what she needs? So that's been our main guiding light. The second thing is like, I love color. I like colors that are unexpected, color clashing, if you will. And one of my jobs when I was at Calvin was to analyze the colors. And because I see the hues, like the yellows and reds more than other people do. So I can find that common thing to make weird colors work
together.
And we've continued that throughout my career. And for better or worse, some people can't figure it out. And other people are like, wow, there's something about this. I'm not sure what it is, but I like it. I don't know. And it's usually the use of strange colors together. And I think also just really knowing that you're not going to please everybody and that is okay. And I think a lot of times, and I've lost my way on this every once in a while too, when I've hired different experts to teach me how we sell more, how we get certain metrics that are on my list of things I want to achieve. And they've kind of guided us off. I've learned that when you follow, especially as a creator, when you follow what feels right in your soul, it works. When you allow these external experts to drive your art, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It never works.
I love that you said that because that is such a good truth and a hard one sometimes to remember as a creative, you know, somebody who's in business for themselves, you so often are seeking, right, the advice of experts, which is great. But there's sometimes where, it can dilute, it can cloud, it can maybe misdirect and always like listening to that gut is so much more worthwhile in the end.
Yeah.
Not just for your actual creative spirit, but for the outcome of like how you're able to connect with people through what you're doing is so much more genuine and authentic.
Yeah.
And you really find your audience when you stay true and stay in that path that you like know, even if it doesn't feel like, ooh, this is making me the most money or I'm on top of everything or all of the things are lining up. Like, I know you've had a lot of moments in your career where you're like, oh my God,
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've had lots of ups and downs. And yeah. I think you're right. And I always, when I talk to younger people who ask advice, I say, listen to all the advice you're given, but decide which is worth hearing. Because I do think, you know, there's something to be said where if you want certain things you have, there are certain steps you have to take, I guess. And then there's other times where not at all. You know, there's times where we've had to do a different color because anthropology wants it. Okay, I want to be in anthropology. They want blue. I'll make it in blue instead of pink. But other than that, I think it's really staying true to yourself. And we're actually making a lot of changes in our business to go back to where I think it needs to be. We followed the experts. We crossed a lot of things off of our goal list. But certain things don't sit right with me. So we're backpedaling and going back to our roots of it, which is really exciting. You know, business wise, it's, I think, scares members of my team. But I was like, guys, we've built this so many times over different iterations after all of the catastrophes I've had. But it's exciting. And I think it's going back to, at the end of the day, what brings you joy? And for us, that's our whole mission, is spreading joy.
Yeah.
So if I'm not feeling joyful in what I'm making, what am I doing it for?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. But I love to hear that that's a natural part of the path too.
Yeah.
That it's more often than not a straight line.
No.
You
no.
know, like, and not even a squiggly line. It's no. a line that loops back on itself and like curly cues around. And, you know, that's just, that's a part, not to sound cheesy, but that's a part of the journey, right?
It is.
Like, it's just a reality. Yeah. And sharing more of that, hearing more from other professionals, you know, kind of in the arts and culture industry is important because I think there's so many times where we have this beautiful, wonderful thing called social media that makes everybody's life and career and everything look shiny and bright and potentially perfect. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people are out there sharing realness as well. And I think you're one of them.
Yeah. The amount of times I've cried on my Instagram. Oh, everyone's like, what are you doing? I was like, they got to see what's happening. This is the reality.
This is what it takes to be like a creative person and follow these pursuits. It's not always pretty or easy or comfortable.
Yeah. No.
My God.
And I think it's tricky too, because like we talk about a lot, because like sometimes I'm like, I want to post this thing. And my team's like, please don't post that. And I'm like, yeah, but it's the reality. But like one of the girls on my marketing team says is, you know, we have, as a business owner, you have to walk that line a little carefully. Mm-hmm. Because if I was on there crying every time something went wrong, you'd be like, oh my gosh, this woman's crazy. She's always crying, right? So you have to find that balance of sharing the realness and being authentic, I think, but also still making it a happy place for people to want to come.
Sure.
And I think, you know, unless your whole thing is, you know, just really sharing what, I mean, that would be a really funny Instagram, literally what goes through on in a day as a creative person. But, you know, I think it is, it's about finding that balance, because I want you to come to our page. Our mission is to spread joy. So I want you to feel joyful.
Yeah.
So typically all of the joyful moments are curated carefully on our Instagram for our brand, which we are shifting some of that though too, because I think we need to be a little bit more authentic in there. But and mine isn't anything goes, and I cry, and you see things flying around when we're working on stuff. And I think that's just what it needs to be like, is really sharing those things and knowing that nobody's life is perfect. Mm. It doesn't matter what level you're at. It's just a different level of issues. There's moments where I'm like, man, I remember the days when, you know, we were worrying about making one piece of something, like, oh, that was nice. But at the same time, like when you sold 1,000 of them, it's pretty nice too, but it comes with a different level of issues, you know, and it's just about remembering why you're doing it.
Yeah.
Even when it's hard and kind of sucks.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah. And especially as someone, I wanted to touch on this, and we've already said a little bit of all of the things that you do, but you wear a lot of hats.
Yes.
Fashion designer, author, speaker, entrepreneur, morning show host.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, this word, maybe, I don't know if you feel like it applies to you, but influencer is definitely, I feel like, could be on that list. It's kind of one of those where you're like, ooh, do I want to be called that? But, you know, it's a part of it too. You know, you're out there in the community, and I think it's for a positive force.
Yes.
But when you have all of these different, you know, branches to your creative tree, do you schedule time for creativity, or is it just constant? Is that why you're jumping from branch to branch? Because you have these segments that you need to pull together.
I'm easily bored. So everybody laughs. The second I have a second to breathe, I add something new. Like we have a lot of new things we're building and working on right now. Cause I was like, oh, okay, that's working. So now wait, I have 5 minutes. So I created something else. But yeah, I think I like to challenge myself and I think I like to explore and experiment. So I play with a lot of things. Like during COVID, we were slow. We were making face masks to keep people safe. And I was like, well, this is, you know, we're doing some of the biggest thing I'm ever going to do in my entire life, but it's also kind of depressing. So I decided to open a kids store because kids are happy and you get to do happy things. And I have an amazing partner, Sky Dyer, and the two of us have had so much fun. But then I was like, okay, well, now this is under control. Let's go back to making clothes again. And then, oh, wait, let's do this. And so I jump. But there is some method to the madness. Yeah. My mom's like, you say yes to everything. No, I don't. I say yes to everything that sounds exciting. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things I say no to. But yeah, I enjoy thinking differently. I enjoy challenges. I wouldn't be in this business if I liked a clear path. Going into an office every day and listening to patients would have been a clearer path. But yeah, it is. It's really fun. And I just love meeting people. I love connecting with others. And I think in every different element of my business, I get to do that in a different way. Mm. And whether it's now we're doing an Airbnb that people can actually stay at our house, we made over the whole place in 10 days. It's a whole thing I'm starting to share, in North Carolina in the mountains. And, for me, it's just such a happy place to get away. So we're like, why are we not sharing this with more people? Mm. So people can stay there now. But with that, it was thinking differently because once again, there's a lot of nods to think how I do things. It's slightly maximalist, but not too much because we didn't want to scare people. Like what I really wanted to do, some people like you would have been like, this is so good. But other people would have been like, what is happening here? Yeah. And terrified. You know, so it's all of those things and just trying to explore a new medium within the realm that I understand. Painting, a whole different beast. You'll see my painting back there. Sad one on the board. Not a painter. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun to get to do something different and challenge yourself, I think.
Definitely. Is there one that has surprised you in how much you either loved it or you were like, oh, nope, not this one, not touching that again?
Oh, that's a really good question. I really have enjoyed interiors more than I actually thought I would. I always liked, you know, designing my own places as I've moved a lot of places throughout my life. But yeah, I've really enjoyed this Airbnb experience where I think I want to do more of it. I really love creating a world for you to come and live in. And, you know, I get to help you be the character with clothes, but here we get to create an environment that you get to interact with and make you feel a certain way. And I think that has been surprisingly exciting. I am going back a little bit towards the influencer route. I've always loved sharing things that I find. I've always been the one that's like, oh my gosh, I found this thing, or I'm walking around and my friends like, where's that from? And I'm like, you won't believe where I got this. So it gives us an opportunity to share a lot of that. So we joined a lot of creator programs. I just joined Target's creator program and Wayfair's creator program as doing these interiors. I really found how much I loved finding unique things and also at affordable prices. I think a lot of times, you know, it's about finding the magic. Like in that house, I put a lot of local artists in North Carolina because, you know, that's what I love. Amazing, talented artists. But I love finding things that are accessible. Unfortunately, our clothes that I make are expensive, but they're expensive because everybody gets paid fairly. At least 10 people touch every single piece of clothing. So who doesn't get to eat tonight is what I ask people when they say, why is it so much money? Can you make it cheaper? Well, I can, but then who doesn't get to eat?
Yeah.
It's usually me actually who does it. I give to everybody before myself. So I'm usually the one. My kid doesn't get to eat when you nickel and dime us on prices. Yeah.
No, I get it. You know? I heard something recently that was along the same lines that I was like, oh wow, I love that. I wish more people considered that, especially when it comes to clothing and like avoiding fast fashion and all that. Yes. Where if it's so unbelievably cheap, it's because somebody isn't getting paid.
Correct. Somebody's getting hurt along the way. And I refuse to put that energy on somebody's body, and it is. And I think this new, I don't want to call it a path because it's not a path, this new opportunity to share things that are more affordable while still explaining why certain things cost what they cost, mm-hmm. I think is going to be really exciting to help educate the consumer a bit more, because it is, it's exactly that conversation of everyone's like, I had a man one time come into the studio and he was like, oh, well, my wife could get something like this at Marshall's for $20. And I was like, well, I think you should buy what you're comfortable with. And he's like, yeah, it's overpriced. And I politely smiled at him and said, overpriced and out of budget are two different conversations. And he was like, oh, and my whole team was like, oh. But it's true. If you go into a Ferrari dealership looking for a Ford price, it's, you're not getting the same thing. Yeah. Both are wonderful. One is a little different, you know? And I think that's the same thing with clothes or art. Sure, you can find amazing prints at places, or you can get an original. It's both beautiful, just a different product.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you value? And if that's, you know, affordability and access, then there's something out there for you.
Correct. But for everybody. There's something for everybody. Yeah, and I think it's about being kind and polite to the creators that are making things and not insulting an original piece versus, you know, a copy or a fast fashion piece of clothing, because it is different.
For sure. For sure. And I like that kind of this in that same realm, this area that you're in now, which I love to see when it pops up on my Instagram, is Amanda's Corner. Which is a newer thing that I've started to see you work on. It's a collaboration, is that maybe what we would call it, with Habitat for Humanity and the Restore in Delray. You have just taken over an area there, right? Like, you have a collaborative space now. And how does that work? Explain the collab to me.
So it's been so much fun. I love Habitat for Humanity. I love that they are building homes for people in our community. I love everything they stand for. These are the things that make me cry. So if I tear up, I love how many people do so much good in our community here in Palm Beach County. And I think that's part of what made me stay here. And this is where, these are the things that make me misty eyed. Yeah. There's a few conversations, but I think, you know, with it being so expensive here, a lot of people are getting priced out. A lot of people can't find an affordable home, and they're allowing people who deserve a safe home for their families to have one here in our community. So Amanda's Corner, oh my gosh. Yeah. See it, guys. I'm like, and I actually have eyeliner on, so it's gonna be all over my face. When I went on Project Runway, they like counted how many times I cried. Yeah, I cry. I'm like very much, I'm very big on sharing your emotions, but sometimes I probably should draw them back.
No, don't lock it away.
I'm like, no, I told my daughter, I was like, if you're going to cry, let it out. My mom's like, what? I was like, just let her, if you feel it, feel it. But so it happened kind of by accident. Once again, I feel like all the best things in life happen by accident. Happy accidents. We were filming with Delray Morning Live, and a show that I did in Delray for 6 years. And now we have paused because of all the other things happening in the world that I have going on. But, and we were filming at the Restore, and I got to learn more about them. I sit on a lot of boards of nonprofits, but not that one. And I wasn't that familiar with what their mission was and what they did. I knew I loved Restore because I love finding treasures. And I have like actually a table in my studio. I have a lot of pieces from Restore just that I naturally found and fixed up and gave new life. So as I was learning more, I was like, wow, like how can I be part of this? Like I want to do more. And so then I was doing for them a series, I think it was 6 videos where I found something at the Restore and made it over. Because actually, what people don't know, my husband and I won an episode of Flea Market Flip on HGTV years ago, where you got something at a flea market, you made it over, and then had to sell it at another flea market. It was so much fun.
Oh my God, that sounds wonderful.
So much fun, Sarah. I feel like you and I could go on there and like really crush it. Let's go do it. Maybe, are they still casting? I'll try to get us back on. But, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. Like, how can we continue this collaboration? And then I don't even know how exactly we came up with it, but it's a combination of me and their marketing team, Masterwing, and the Restore team. And we're like, what if in a corner of the store, I curate my favorite things that are in the store at the time? So the people who either aren't good at digging, don't like to dig, or just won't dig, can just go right to that corner, find the things that I think are special, and go home. And so the first one, I donated almost everything in the corner. I went through my closet, my grandma's closet, my mom's closet. Yeah, we had like original samples from Calvin Klein in there, like all kinds of crazy stuff. And my mission with that was also, people should be able to find things that are beautiful and that they can afford. And I think, you know, buying things secondhand, it gives it new life. It makes sure that this doesn't wind up in landfills, that beautiful clothing and furniture get to be shared with somebody else. So we donated a ton of stuff. So the whole first time in the corner was all my stuff, pretty much, with a few things that we found there. Actually, Ashley Walters found the coolest lamp. I was like, this lamp is so cool. Oh my God,
wait, was it the guy's head? I remember this lamp. We've had conversations about it.
So I found that. I was like, this is the coolest thing, and put it there. And my whole family was like, no. And I was like, if somebody doesn't get this, I'm taking him home and he will be in my home. So then when Ashley got it, her husband was like, no. He's like, what did you do to me? And my husband's like, dude, better you than me because it's going to my house and it wasn't at your house. And I was like, yes, let's see you find your soul sisters.
Yeah, of course, Ashley saw the vision. I get it.
We were there together in that corner of weird. But it was, yeah, and it's been so much fun. So I actually just went yesterday. We refreshed it again with things that we found there. So essentially, it is things from Restore. And what people don't know about Restore a lot of times, I think, is anything donated to Restore, anything sold at Restore, it all goes towards building homes for Habitat for Humanity. So I always encourage my friends and everybody I know who, if you're getting rid of things, let me know, because I can maybe put it in the corner. If it's things that are beautiful, you don't want to see go to a landfill, you don't know what to do with it, donate it to the Restore. They really appreciate every single thing. And if it's things that you love, I'll make sure I put them in the corner. But yeah, and it's been really fun. So we're doing a bi-weekly refresh now.
Wow, okay.
I'm going in once a month. And then I'm working with an amazing member of their team to send me photos and things in between when we start selling out so we can keep it fresh constantly.
Nice. Yeah.
But it's been really fun to be able to think creatively in a different way. And there I'm curating like I would for my stores. Mm-hmm. But from things that are donations and things that are secondhand and the amount of incredible things that come through Restore, Sarah, like
definitely,
I put something in the corner and then immediately bought it like multiple times this has happened. And my husband's like, do you just keep putting it there so you remember where it's at? I was like, maybe.
I'm like kind of stashing things to the side for myself a little bit. No, but that's so fun. I love it. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, not that it's a whole job, but that amount of time.
It is.
That's like a little bit of a dream job because you get to, I mean, so often I feel like you have this same probably treasure hunter gene.
Yes.
That's like, I just want to find cool stuff.
Yes.
And I just want to have like this, you know, it's like a collector thing. And it doesn't matter where it comes from, secondhand, thrift, whatever. Yeah. But to be able to do that for other people where you're like, I can find the cool things that maybe my husband doesn't want me to bring home or maybe I don't have the space for, but I can feature it and highlight it. So somebody else who, you know, maybe doesn't have the time to go on the hunt or whatever can appreciate it and it won't end up in the landfill and somebody else will get some joy out of it. Because let me tell you, that lamp has been talked about in our friend circle.
So good.
He has come up and I feel like Ashley had a name for him. I don't remember what it is anymore, but he has come up. Pictures have made the rounds. Like we've all seen him at this point.
He's so good.
So he's giving somebody real joy.
A lot of people joy.
Yes.
See, everybody in that circle is all getting joy from that fellow. And I have to find a photo so you could share it with people.
I know it's on your social media. I have seen.
Yeah, he has to be there somewhere.
I love him on your Instagram. So if people
love him,
you gotta visit the feed. You'll see it's a bust of this like English gentleman. I don't know what he is.
We were like, is he English? Is he French? We can't figure that out. I don't know. But he has like a powdered wig.
He's a fancy man.
He's a very fancy man. Yeah. And yeah, but no, it's been so much fun just to find these unique things and really give them an opportunity to feel special. Because I think a lot of times you go into all of these stores and listen, it is so much work for them to sort. I've been in the back room, the piles that they have to sort through and make sure it's good and hang and, you know, process. It's a lot. So sometimes it can be hard, but to be able to find these really incredible things and make them feel like a boutique, it's been really special.
And I mean, what a fun, again, creative outlet and probably an opportunity for you to get some inspiration in different ways from different sources of just getting your hands on different materials, seeing colors, you know, all of these things that come along with spending a little time outside your normal routine, outside your studio, outside, you know, away from whatever other work and just breaking into something. It's got to spark a little bit of something extra there.
1,000%. This has been my favorite volunteer project that I've had in a long time. I've really enjoyed it.
Okay. I want 3 words that would describe House of Perna. And I know that's probably a tall order because you could write a book on it, but.
I sure could. Maximalist for sure. Joyful. And it's not a word. I'd say made with love, but otherwise I guess sustainable.
Mm. Yeah. What part of that practice? I mean, I feel like you've already touched on the sustainability of the economics of it, like making sure that everybody is fairly paid for starters. What other kind of factors come into sustainability with the brand?
So everything is made in small batches, sometimes literally one. I buy a lot of dead stock fabric, which for people who don't know what that is, it's a lot of the big fashion houses will have leftover fabric at the end of the season. So these people come and they get the fabric and build whole showrooms and warehouses full of fabrics that just need new life. All of our prints I design, so we have them printed and they're digitally printed, which it uses less water, and we print it as we need it. So I'm not just printing 5,000 meters of fabric that sits in a warehouse. I did grossly misjudge one time, and we have probably 500 meters sitting in my studio right now that if somebody can think of a project with, if you need it for a canvas, I will donate. But so we try to be really mindful of what we're doing and how it's being made. And as much as we can, we do still make in the United States. We're pulling back a lot more stuff into our studio again right now with this new strategy that we're bringing into our business. I think, you know, it was one of those things where the tariffs hit us really bad.
True.
I got hit with a 5-figure tariff bill we were not expecting. And as a small business owner, it's really scary.
Yeah.
And I did. I took my moment. It felt my emotions. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, how do we move forward through this? So we're making a lot of changes of what we're going to do to be able to continue to do that. And a lot of it's going to be bringing it home and working on it in our studio again. And then we're really mindful also of the materials that we are using. And it's tricky because a lot of, like, I like silk. Silk is one of my favorites. But the problem with that is, how are the silkworms being treated? But then the ulterior is, the option is, okay, then you have polyester.
Mm-hmm.
But with polyester, it has its own set of issues. Sure. So, you know, it's tricky, but we try to make the best decisions we can for each and every product and in each moment. Sometimes we don't make the right call. You know, as a business owner, that we do the best we can. But yeah, we really do try to think about what we're doing before we bring it into the world. Does it need to exist in the world? And sometimes the answer is no, and we don't create it.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, a lot of thought and process and energy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's always wonderful. And I think that's a part of going back to, well, even the space you have now, but also like places like the Delray Arts Warehouse, where people can kind of get a peek behind the curtain of what goes on in the creative process. And it's not just like, as simple as, you know, a sketch that ends up being put together, that gets made into a pattern, that gets made into a garment and somebody's wearing it. It's like there are many, 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 many layers of consideration that happen before it ever ends up, you know, even getting produced as a sample.
Yes. Yeah. It takes months to become a sample and about a year to become clothing. And we're going to start doing some things differently where we can create things a little faster in our studio, because if I physically have it there, we could drape it and make it right now, which is exciting. But yeah, it's a lot. Like, what people don't realize is every stitch, every measurement, how wide, how long, how everything, every button, every zipper, every color of thread is documented in our tech packs. And, you know, people think, they're like, why does it take so long? I was like, well, we don't have a magical unicorn that like poops it out for us. We actually have to build this thing. And our blueprints are like the blueprints to a home. I mean, it's a packet of stuff for every single piece. And a lot of people don't understand that. And it's part of my mission going forward. And what we're going to show a lot more of in our business is exactly what it takes to make it happen. And not, I never wanted to do it. We talked about this for years because I didn't want to seem like we were talking down to the customer of like, why don't you get this? Mm. But a little bit of why don't you get this is because nobody is educating the consumer. So to your earlier point, oh, I can get this for $5. Yeah, but this is why it's not $5. Mm-hmm. And that's okay too. There are times where, you know, maybe that's somebody's budget. And if that's your budget, that is okay. And I'm not ever going to say you're doing the wrong thing when that's as much as you can spend. But if people do have the option and ability to buy something else, I think it's a better way to do it. Or go to the ReStore and someplace like that where you can get these beautiful clothing that are made a little bit more mm-hmm. sustainably and will last longer. Because think about it, if it's going there, that means it held up at least.
It's had a life cycle already, right?
So I think things like that too are a good opportunity for people then to be able to buy things, you know, in a better price point. Well, that is not killing the planet.
I think that's a fantastic idea to share more of that, to be able to educate people and see more of it, especially with, you know, just there's so much availability that if you don't know, you can't care.
Right. 100%.
If you don't know what the difference is between a $5 garment and a $100 garment, mm-hmm. you're not going to care. And you're going to say, oh, well, I'll spend $5. Probably most people are going to do that.
Of course.
But if you know, and if it's something that matters to you, if you find value in it, mm-hmm. whether that's, you know, supporting a local business, that money goes back into your community, supporting ethical production of things, mm-hmm. like all of those things, if you know, you have the opportunity to choose to care.
Correct.
And to choose if that's an available, you know, thing that you can participate in. If that's a system that you want to participate in, you can. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's great to give people the opportunity of that choice rather than just pretend like it's just a price difference.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just an artistic price difference.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
It's not. No.
Yeah.
Nope.
No. Okay. I have so many more questions. Oh my gosh. We're doing good though. I did want to ask before we take a little commercial break.
Sure.
Can you share one like glorious high and one bigger low of the path?
That's how much time do we have? There's been lots on both ends. Oh man, one in one. I know when I was thinking about this earlier, I was like, oh, I don't know. I can tell you our definite low. Mm. So we survived COVID by like the skin of our teeth. And we were like, okay, we started building again. And then a FedEx truck caught fire. You guys have probably seen me cry about this. And every time I talk about it, I do cry. Because it was so dramatic. But so we started like barely survived mm-hmm. COVID. And I hired like all the sewers in Miami to make face masks. My mission was to keep people safe. So I was like, okay, karma is on our side in our comeback tour. And yeah, I don't know if it was karma or what happened to us, but so we had a truck with all of our year of samples, pieces I made for Project Runway, all kinds of things, catch fire. We did not get anything from our insurance. We did not get anything from the shipping company. We got no answers. I still have not seen a fire mm-hmm. or police report. And we did not know how we were going to be able to move forward. We spend a lot of money to produce a sample collection, which then gets sold. And we need those samples to be able to make it into production, to fit it and, you know, work through it. And, it was a loss that I wasn't sure we could come back from. And I just sat there and cried because I did not know what to do at first. And then I took that step back again, like I always do. I allow myself to feel it. And then, okay, then we figure it out. And it was actually a few of my friends were like, you need to share this. And I was like, no, I'm not. One of my friends said, let's do a GoFundMe. I said, no, I'm still okay. Like, I still have a home. That's for people who really need help. I'm not doing that. I'm not comfortable. And she was like, yeah, but you help everybody. I said, thank you, but no, I'm not doing this. So I sat for a second and I was like, well, what if I just make everything we have in the studio extremely cheap just to get anything coming in right now? And my friends are like, you need to tell this story on social media. And I was like, I like to be positive. Like, I don't want that to be. And I was like, but you know what? We are kind of stuck and I cannot survive this. I can't. Mm-hmm. And which was really scary to say out loud after building for almost a decade at that point to be like, yeah, I can't survive this and I don't know. So we did. We had a sale. And I have to say everyone I knew showed up. And like, it's one of those moments that was so terrible. And I will cry. This is like a big crying moment for me. But it was one of those moments where I didn't realize how many people I had touched. I didn't realize that people cared. I'm just a girl that makes clothes that, you know, likes to help people. But Sarah, the way that people showed up saved me. They saved my business. I'm sorry, guys. They saved us in a way that I didn't think anybody cared. And it was so beautiful. And thank you. Oh my gosh, you're amazing. Sorry, guys. This is what happens when you bring therapy ball on your show. the real theatrics happen. But It was one of those moments where I was like, oh my gosh, like I said to my husband, okay, you know what? This is it. I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore. The universe is speaking to me like, okay, I've had a good go. I've achieved most of what I wanted to. It's time for a break. I'm not doing this anymore. And then the amount of people that came through, I mean, we had within a matter of 2 days, we had 500 transactions. Like it was crazy. Our studio was full, like on repeat. And I mean, given we did give everybody a really good deal, but you know, it was amazing. And people didn't have to do that. They can be like, oh, well, yeah, whatever, and move on with their day. Cause there's so many horrible things that happen constantly. And in the grand scheme of things, me losing my business compared to lives and things that are lost, not that important. So I try to reframe that also. But for us, this was our everything. This was our livelihood. This is how I feed my family. This is how I take care of my daughter. And we had that moment where I was like, well, if this many people believe in me, how am I going to just give it up? I can't give it up. I'm letting all of them down. And it was the moment where I was like, wow, like, I guess I have impacted people in a way that I didn't realize, you know, like I think we're so busy going through emotions and doing what we need to do or know how to do or whatever.
The to-do lists that eat up so much.
And for me to have that happen, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, we're here and we're going to stay here. So yeah, that was one of my worst and somehow happiest moments. I was going
to
say
that almost sounds like an answer to both.
It was. It was. And I think that was like a big deal. And I think aside from that, it was, I don't know, a lot of the benchmarks of getting into anthropology, which was my dream store, or my book. I mean, I'll make a quick little list, but like my book being a bestseller at Neiman Marcus, a book that I just like drew with a glass of wine for my daughter, you know, I had no intention of ever selling. Or it was, I mean, even showing at New York Fashion Week. And I take it back. I think the biggest, most exciting thing is exactly what you said when we started the conversation, seeing people that I do not know wearing our clothes in the world. I mean, it's fabulous when I see my friends, you know, because I love you guys. Yeah. And that's amazing to see people I know and love. But when you see people you do not know, I'm sure you feel the same with your art. Mm-hmm. When you see people you do not know being excited about this and walking down the street or posting on Instagram, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like we have reached them. Like they understood what we were here for. And I think there's nothing more powerful than that.
Yeah. So, so true. Such a good answer. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I know that's a lot.
Sorry for my crying, guys.
No, don't apologize for it. It's a big moment. Like that's a huge moment of evolution for you.
Yeah.
And that comes along with a lot of pain and a lot of emotion sometimes, but man, it is a absolute beautiful thing to know that your community is there and there are people, and I'm going to cry too. So we're going to move on. That have your back. Yeah. And I love that for you.
Thank
you. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. So we will take a little short break. We'll do some deep breathing while you guys listen to a wonderful word from our sponsors, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County.
Those dinner reservations and tea times will have to wait, because there's an art-filled paradise beyond these beaches. A mecca of masterpieces, spectacular sights by day and night. A cultural capital that's calling your name. See so much more than you came for in the Palm Beaches.
There you go. I know. I saw that question. I was like, oh no, I can keep it together. No, I can't keep it together. I'm not going to pretend like I can keep it together. That's one I can't keep together every single time. And it's like, we had one of the girls in IT and I were laughing and she's like, at what point do you think you're going to be numb to this? I was like, I don't think I ever will be.
Yeah.
I think like just the trauma of like really being like, oh my God, everything that I worked for my entire career is now done.
It's such a pivotal moment.
It's done. Like, what do I do?
Yeah. I know. There's those big moments that sometimes people, I feel like, you know, in an effort to encourage, and I do appreciate it, are they like, you're going to look back at this in 10 years and you're going to be like, maybe there's a time. I don't know if it's 10 years from now. I don't know if it's 20 years from now. Yeah. I don't know if it's 50 years from now or what it will be, but there's always going to be like, that's a huge moment of impact. And man, and I also just, you know, if you feel those emotions, like you said, feel them. There's no point in
I agree.
Of tamping that down because it's a part of the rest of your energy.
Yeah.
Why dull that?
Yeah, I agree.
It does nothing for you and it does nothing for anybody else.
No, no. Because that's why so many people are like very angry because they like hold it down and they can't let it out. Because, so they just yell at people instead of crying.
Yeah, they yell at people on the internet.
On the public parking lot, on 95, they try to drive you off the road because they're upset about something.
Oh man, see, that's one of the things I don't miss about driving to the warehouse in Delray is being on 95 a lot more. Yeah. I've never been in a position where I've had a big long commute, and not that that was one of them, but for me that was like at least at best a 30 minute drive and like being on 95 that much more time was a little nerve-wracking. I realized quickly.
That's how, why I made it. Solomon drive. I don't drive on 95 actually. Ashley was telling you, she's like, wanna go to, I was like I was
Does it require
somebody else from Delray is going and I'll pay for gas, I'll pay for the valet, I'll pay for all the things, just the physical getting there. It's like when I was going to move to West Palm before the studio opened, Renee Phillips was like, come with me, come with me. Beautiful space next to her.
Oh my gosh.
Such a great price. And Solomon's like, you are not going to drive 20 minutes every day. He's like, you're not going to drive 20 minutes once a week.
And then
he's
the like, option is getting on US1 and taking, you know, double, triple your time.
That's what he said. I was like, I could take A1A. He's like, except for when it's shut down and then you can't. And I was like,
selfishly, I would have loved that because that means if your studio would have been closer to me, but I understand.
I know. Well, every other day I say I'm moving up this way, so you never know. I might, if you find me a place in Palm Beach Gardens, I might wind up here.
All right. Listen, we can find some cool studio spaces up here for you. I wouldn't mind that. We are going to talk more about community, though. And I know that you are deeply embedded in the Delray community. You really are. Yeah. And I mean, it's, you know, greater part of Palm Beach County, but I see you doing a lot there, you know, with the Chamber, YMCA. We talked about Habitat for Humanity. Mm-hmm. What drives you to show up in so many ways other than outside of fashion, I'll say?
Yeah, I love helping people. I love people. You know, I'm not quite where I want to be in life yet. I definitely don't have the most in the room, but I feel I'm very fortunate. So if I can help, I help, just because it's the right thing to do. I think there are so many people in our community, I think, who need help. And a lot of times because they talk about the wealth, they talk about a lot of things in Palm Beach County, which we do have, they neglect to talk about the need. And if I can help a neighbor, I'm going to. And so I've had the honor of sitting on the board of the Achievement Center for Children and Families for 5 years now. I've been on the chamber board for, I don't know, even longer than that. And then last year I joined the YMCA board and this year I'm chairing their 25th anniversary gala. So if anybody wants to come, please come. It's going to be amazing for a great cause. I love to help and I love meeting other helpers, as strange as that sounds, the phrasing of it, but I love just meeting kind people. I love people who love people. And I've learned so much about our community. I've learned so much about like where my home is. And I think a lot of times, you know, we do once again get stuck in our path of what we have to do that you forget the need of your neighbor. And, if I can help, I'm going to. And it has been probably the most rewarding, not probably, definitely the most, oh my gosh, guys, I still haven't stopped crying from before the break. The most rewarding part of my life. A lot of times my team will be like, we need you. Like you're pulled in so many directions, like stop, you need to say no. I'm not going to say no. I think that anything you can do, whether it's volunteering time or money or something, like a lot of artist friends, you guys all donate paintings and things to different nonprofits, which is beautiful. It's a way to really make your community better because everybody deserves to have a beautiful life. And if I can be a small part of helping somebody else's life feel more joyful, I'm going to, even if it doesn't, because some people will say, well, what do you get out of it? Mm-hmm. I don't do it because I need to get something out of it. I do it because it's the right thing to do. And I mean, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, please don't ask me anything else. Because we gave to, I think it was 100 nonprofits last year. And my team was like, you need to say no to some of these people. And I was like, but I can't say no. It's just, I want to help them. And then the accountant's like, do you want to be the nonprofit? And I was like, no, not really. But yeah, it is. It brings me the most joy. I tease my husband. I was like, I could, you know, have other hobbies that are going to cost you just as much money, but not be as impactful. So, you know, I think my my vice, if you will, of helping others mm-hmm. is probably the best version of what it could be.
Yeah, there's a community benefit here. It's not like you're just spending time on a, I'm not going to, hobbies aren't frivolous either, but it's, it's like you're spending time, you're committed to community. There are worse things that you could be spending your time on.
I agree. I'm not hanging out at a bar.
Well, I love it. It's always great to see, I'm sure I just see a piece of what you're up to because of social media, but it is always exciting and it's inspiring and it's wonderful to see as a creative, other people finding different venues into which to input that big energy that they have. And doing it in a way that still is authentic to you and aligns with like the joy that you want to share with other people. So it is wonderful see. We talked about Amanda's Corner. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about Camp Perna because that seems right up my alley. And I know a lot of women I know would be super into it. Camp Perna is something that I've just started to see being advertised more through your social media. And it is a 18 and up for women to come and just creative play.
Yes.
Like they're in your studio. Yep. They have some dedicated space to work with. They get to find some other, come with a friend, come by yourself, find some community, have some creativity in your life. And it's not, it's like judgment free and it's easygoing and it's not something that you have to commit to 8 weeks of a class to do something. It's you can have this great, colorful, wonderful, creative experience and you can do it once or you can maybe come back every time Camp Perna is open.
Yes.
So tell us more about that. How does that work? How do people sign up? What is it a little bit more?
Okay. So you can sign up on houseofperna.com. There's a tab called Camp Perna or on Instagram. You can find us. The girls on my team are amazing and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. It is exactly what you said. You really perfectly summed that up. So I'm glad that our messaging is actually clear because sometimes you wonder are you really understanding what we're trying to say? Like we were talking about, I love people. I love spreading joy. And we learned with our new, we call it our concept shop because in the front, it's where we test a lot of things. And then we have our studio in the back. So we found a lot of women would come in and they'd be, oh my gosh, you look so cute with strangers as they were trying things on. And because we have a tiny little shop, it's 400 square feet because the whole space is 900. And I took more from my studio than the store because we need rent to play. And they were like, wow, this is just such a fun place to hang out. And I was like, okay, well, how do we share that feeling with others more? And when I was at the Arts Warehouse, I did a lot of workshops and I loved it. And I met new people and people met people. And I had girls who took my workshops and would come every month. And some girls became friends and would go out to dinner after because they knew that their new friend was there. And it became like a really fun little community. And I think as women, especially, it can be hard to find other friends. You're working, you go home, you have your things. And sometimes, especially for all the people who are newer to Florida, it is hard to find people. And it's also hard to give ourselves, even creative people who do things creatively, the excuse to experiment and just play without it having to matter. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you'll be like, oh, I have to spend this time working on paintings because I need to sell paintings or for me clothes. And we're like, we've got to crank these things out because we have to, hit our numbers and make a living. But to play in something that I don't want to say doesn't matter, but doesn't matter in that way.
Sure.
Is freeing. And all of us have a stifled inner child stuck in there that needs to come out and just play with the glitter and the glue. And so we wanted to create the permission for others to do that with us, where you're not being judged. We're there to help and support you. They're not workshops where you're there to learn. Mm-hmm. And sure, if you want to learn something, I'm happy to teach you. But it's just, we put a bunch of crazy stuff on the table and you come and play with us. And we had our first one last Friday. It went past capacity. It was really crammed because I didn't want to turn people away. And they were literally in the clothing racks pretty much. And we were cramming people in there. We are starting to figure out our formula of capping the workshops. But we did it in the summer, especially as you and I were talking about before we started filming. For those of us who live here, we don't have a lot to do in the summer because everyone's like, it's not season. Yeah. But the amount of people who live here full time is growing. And we deserve an indoor activity because it's so hot where we can, you know, have a good time with friends, and we serve like little snacks and like little beverages, you know, and you get to make a friend or bring a friend and make something fun. So last week was tote bags. So we decorated tote bags, and the creativity in the room and how everybody had the same assignment, if you will, and did it so differently was so fun to watch. And then we have tomorrow is straw hat decorating.
Oh my gosh.
So we have ribbons and trims and paints and pom-poms and all kinds of things to make your own hat. And throughout this summer, we're having every single Friday a different one. They're from 5 to 7 p.m. And yes, you can come late. We've had a few girls who work until six. Like, can I not? No, you can come. And I'll usually stay a little bit later with you. But and then we're going to roll more out during the season. And we're just trying. This is our time to test and see what people like, what they don't like. How can we do it better? How can we make it stronger? So it is a really great experience for others. And it's been really fun because it's lending itself to where we've had people inquire, can I do my birthday there? Or can I have a girls' night with my friends? And we're like, well, yeah, let's do it. That could be fun. So it's really interesting how it's evolving. And like I said, a million times in everything I do, like, I just want to give people a place where they feel happy. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't shop with us, to come in and just feel something once again in our store. And with this, it allows you to come and sit a while and play in the studio like we do. And, you know, not have anyone judging if your painting looks like the teacher's. Because I will be the first to admit, I can do a lot of things. Painting is not my medium. And when I would do those sip and paints, mine looked really, really bad. And I'd be like, oh my gosh. And everyone's like, yeah, but you're a creative person. Yeah, but paint is not what I'm good at. And it was like, and these people who never do anything creative that were like a lawyer, theirs looked like the teachers and mine looked like some real abstract version of it. I was like,
oh. Listen, there are a lot of lawyers that are closeted artists, you know, they're true, for sure. They're there for
they
sure.
Are there.
But I get it. You know, and listen, I wouldn't even know where to begin on draping fabric or anything. I'm sure I could have a great time playing with it, but would it look anything like something wearable? Actually, probably not, but it sounds wonderful. So I'm so glad more and more things like this exist. Yeah. And, you know, we need these third places in our community. Mm-hmm. We don't have a ton of opportunity, you know, to gather in ways that, to be honest, don't completely revolve around alcohol or food.
Yes.
And we need more of them. And especially we need these creative outlets. Like you said, something that's, let's say, non-consequential in a way, or doesn't have to be capitalized on.
Yes.
That doesn't have, like, you're not trying to make your side hustle, or you don't have to worry about like, oh gosh, now I have to make 13 of these because I got to, you know, sell a little thing of it. Or it's
I mean, unless you do, and then more power to you, girl, you got a new business opportunity. Right. But yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah.
You can do, and you could do it as crazy as you want, whatever you want, because it doesn't matter.
And having space that people feel the freedom to play in is such a wonderful, wonderful thing to provide. I mean, what could be better? I know anytime I've, you know, had or had myself, right, whether studios I've had and I've offered, come paint, come come sketch, come do whatever, you know, my materials are here, dive into whatever you want. Or I found those other places, you know, in places like Avenue Pottery, for instance, you know,
she's amazing.
Her ceramic studio is one of those really special gems where you can go. And a lot of people often end up just kind of coming to hang out.
Yeah.
More than, like they touch clay a little bit and some people are really into the clay, but others are just kind of there because the community's there and it's a safe, comfortable, like friendly space in which they can enjoy each other's company. And
so beautiful.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So I love to hear about it. I'm so excited that you're trying this and that you're figuring out great ways and that it's going to exist more and more, because it sounds delightful. And
Thank you.
I will attend Camp Perno one of these days.
I absolutely will.
Okay. I ask this question on every episode. What is one place, event, thing that is related to arts and culture within Palm Beach County that you think everybody visiting or living here should know about, should experience?
Okay, mine's a very biased one because I lived there for 6 years with my studio, but I think the Arts Warehouse.
That's a big one. Yeah.
I do think there's, and that's a tricky question because there's so many great places here. I think with the Arts Warehouse, you get to witness artists in, we always used to like joke that it's like being animals at the zoo, right? Because they come by and they're watching
the glass window.
But like at the same time, you get to witness them in their natural habitat, like creating. You get to hear the stories. You get to ask the questions. You get to interact with artists in a way that a lot of times you can't. Mm-hmm. And there's all different levels of artists. There's people who they're doing it for the first time. I mean, everybody has to have some level of experience because you have to apply and get accepted. And Grace is very particular about who she lets in, and understandably so. She's creating a beautiful community there. But you get to meet people at different levels and watch them soar. And like, even on the flip side, being an artist there, watching so many of you blossom and go, because I was there the longest for a long time. You know, I watched so many artists come in and out and find their zone. And mm-hmm. it's so exciting. And I think whether you are an artist yourself or not, they have the workshops, and there's so many different opportunities for people to learn and have that connection with others. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really special, magical place.
It is. I mean, the studios are incredible. I think every time that I've told somebody about it and it's been their first time there, there's always this like, whoa, how did I not know this existed?
Yep.
And I don't think it should be a hidden gem. It needs to be a completely public, everybody's aware of it gem. Yeah. And the gallery is fantastic too. The shows, the exhibits that come through are amazing. And I mean, Grace was actually a guest on the Artie Gras podcast, and we had a great chat about what they do there and how much it feeds the community. Not just Del Rey, the surrounding area. Yeah. I mean, is absolutely a worthwhile destination for people mm-hmm. who are traveling or visiting. It's a great answer. I love it.
Good answer. Love it there so much.
Yeah. I love so visiting. Much. And I know they've got, I was just saw a sneak peek of their next exhibit.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
So I'm very excited.
So excited
to see what is next. It's always exciting. So if anybody wants to check out that episode with Grace, you can learn more about the Arts Warehouse in Del Rey. Okay. This was my first page. Go to your second page, Sarah. Okay. We got the space. You've built multiple successful ventures, and I'm sure there will be future ones. What advice would you want to give to somebody who's maybe kind of starting in their career and has big ideas?
I have so much advice, which we're actually starting to create a course.
Are we getting a book soon?
I'm starting to create a course. I would say number one is know that it is going to be hard. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean, I think a lot of times we're shown the shiny once again mm-hmm. on Instagram mm-hmm. of start a business. I mean, I get served a million things a day of I make $1 million a month on Instagram alone. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Because I've been doing this a long time. You know, but I think it's knowing it's going to be hard, but if you love it, it's worth it. Knowing that even the terrible moments are only a moment and you will push through. And I think knowing your why and keeping that the shining guiding light, because I think there are so many different advice, so many experts, so many everything, but what makes you and your business unique? Because there is only one of you. If I tried to paint, let's even pretend I can paint because I can't, but let's pretend I know how to paint. I couldn't paint your paintings like you. And if you're the best seamstress in the world, you still wouldn't design clothes like I could. And I think that's the magic in it. But I think a lot of times people feel like they have to follow what everyone's doing or saying. No, do your own version, because that's what people want, is your version, not the one that exists by somebody who's doing their version better than you're ever going to.
Absolutely. It's a great answer. I love it. Another request for advice.
Yes.
And you talked about this a little bit, people who come into the store, into the studio sometimes, or either, and they're feeling like they can't pull off that much. Mm-hmm. Maximalism mm-hmm. isn't their thing, or that kind of color, or that kind of pattern. Do you have a piece of advice for somebody who maybe wants to dress a little bit louder, but they're not quite sure how to or where to start with that?
Oh, this is a really big one. The amount of people that either come in and say, or the amount of people that we do like manage to turn to the bright side. I would say start small. So if you're really comfortable, find something you're really comfortable with and change something else. The easiest way is always accessories. Like we joke, it's the gateway drug in fashion. If you do a really bold earring with your black dress or beige dress or whatever it is that you feel comfortable in, you start seeing color on yourself and it becomes less scary. Mm-hmm. I think if you have a style you're comfortable with, say you love a baggy pant. I don't know. I'm like trying to think of an example. And you're like, oh, I always wear this kind of pant. Try changing that. Because if it's the same style, but in a different color, you're only scaring yourself halfway. And the other thing I always say is you have to dress for yourself. You have to do things that make you happy. People are going to judge you no matter what. People are going to make comments no matter what. But if you feel good about it, it does not matter what they think. It does not matter. I say it a lot in the keynote talks that I give. Like if I stood up there in a black suit and you're like, wow, this lady is boring. You didn't get to meet me. I'm not giving you the opportunity to know me and I'm not showing who I am. Now, if I'm up there in hot pink and sequins, you're like, she is crazy. That's an okay assumption. You can feel that way about me. That's yours to decide. But at least I'm giving you the opportunity to decide who I am. And I think it's the same with how you dress. If you dress in a way that you feel good and you like it and it brought you joy, it does not matter because people are going to love it and people are going to hate it. But as long as you feel okay, at the end of the day, that's the only thing you can control. You can't control what they feel.
Yeah, that's such a great answer. And I think there was absolutely a time and still is where I catch myself doing those things of like, this is safe and comfortable. I know it looks good, like whatever. Yeah. And then the moments where I actually pause and take time to think about how I'm representing myself and who I am as a person and what I and how I would like to be perceived. Not that I can always control that, but if I'm trying to show who I am, what effort I'm making to that, those are the moments in time where I have had the most fun. Connect with the people that are like, oh my God, these are my people.
Yes. You know,
these are the people who are buying fancy man lamps at Habitat for Humanity.
Love those
and
people.
Like, those are the times where you actually have the real authenticity of like, oh, somebody saw me and maybe five other people were like, whoa, that was a little much, but I don't care about those five other people. They're not my people.
No.
Yeah. That's great.
I agree.
That's great advice.
It's just, I think it's so important because it's exactly that. If you made boring things and dressed boring and behaved silently, you wouldn't have the amazing friends you have. But they're just like you and they love you and celebrate you for you. And I think it's let the world do that. Or let the world be like, she is too much. And that's okay. Yeah. Girl, you do your basic over there. We'll keep having fun here. Yeah, you know? Exactly.
At Camp Perna.
At Camp Perna, we'll keep having fun while you do your boring beige over there.
Oh, man. Well, this has been so wonderful. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that, you know, you wanted to touch on? I'm always happy to go on a million rabbit trails and I could talk to all my guests forever because these are the kind of conversations I love to have. But is there anything else that you wanted to get into today?
Oh, no, you were a very thorough interviewer. Like, truly, I mean, I've done, I don't even know how many of these at this point in my life, but this was amazing, Sarah. You're really, you take the time to really get to know your guest and you care and your passion in everything you do. I mean, come on, even this, like every single thing you're doing, like you're so passionate and amazing. No, I guess I would just encourage people to follow along.
Yes, where can people find you? If they want to engage, where can they find you?
So our brand is at House of Perna and our website is houseofperna.com. I'm personally at the Amanda Perna and my website is amandaperna.com. So you can find out about all the different things I do there. And then we have a Little Wild and it's WYLD for our kids store. And we have a lot of things that we're working on that we're excited about, like courses we're going to start launching, all of this new fun. I hate to call it influencer stuff because
we need to find a new word.
Where you can find my favorite things and purchase them from other companies and brands, which is exciting. I'm not just having to show mine. I could show other people's also.
Yeah. And if somebody wants to stay in what sounds like a magical Airbnb, there's an opportunity there
too. Come and stay at the Fernwood. So that Instagram is, I think it's just the Fernwood. I don't know. You can find it on my Instagram. We have too many Instagrams. And it's a magical place in the woods. Come to Camp Perna, come into our store, go online, see what we're about. Because I really hope that whether you're having the best day ever and want to celebrate or a really sad day and need a pick me up, we can be there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a portal. I'm telling you, when you walk in those doors, you're in another place. There's a little bit of magic. There's a lot of sparkles. There's a lot of color,
a lot of feathers.
It's worth visiting and returning to because it's such a special place. Every place that you touch, I see the inner theater kid and the production of it all. And I'm so happy it exists in the world in my neighborhood. So thank you again, for visiting, for taking the time to talk with me today and to share your story. And I'm always enthusiastically watching and such a big fan of what you do. So
likewise, thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Of course. And as always, a big thank you to our audience for tuning in and listening. Share with your friends, like and follow and all that good stuff. If you want to connect with Amanda, you can find her website, social media. They're going to be linked below in our description. And of course, a huge thank you to our sponsor of the show, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. I'm your host, Sarah Lapierre, and I'll see you next time on the Artie Gras podcast.